Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast, Season 3, Episode 2. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard, and if you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm sorry for the delay in getting this podcast out this week. I had underestimated the time that video editing for the YouTube channel would take in order to do a simultaneous release. In Season 1, I covered a lot of the methods regarding how to be an autodidactic, and in Season 2, I covered autodidactics of the past and some of the methods they used for self-learning. In this season, I'm doing a series called My De-Stupidification. So in Series 3, I'll be using all the techniques and methods I discussed previously to show these techniques in action. However, since a lot of the techniques require some elements that are best shown visually, I've decided to show what I'm doing on my YouTube channel. Therefore, each week on the Autodidactic Podcast, I'm going to cover the creation of lesson plans, creation of self-quizzes, the methods I'm using, how I'm going to find resources for learning, etc. And then on my YouTube channel, I'm going to review at the end of each week how well I did and try to show visually what I did. So the idea for the example episode 3 of the Autodidactic Podcast would be published at the same time as the video that shows the methods that I discussed in episode 2 and the results. And I'm hoping that listeners will be able to get some value from seeing how I'm using the methods which I've discussed in previous seasons in the real world. To make this a little more challenging, I've decided that all the resources that I use should be free and legal. So this means I'll be getting resources from the internet or the public library system, etc. Because I want to show that it's possible to do self-directed self-learning with very little investment as far as money goes. So this week on the Autodidactic Podcast, I'm looking at getting resources, using mnemonics, and completion of the study plan using a retrospective timetable. So let's talk about getting resources. I've done my initial assessment of what I want to learn, how much I already know, and how much time I want to allot to each topic. So the next thing is to find some resources. I covered finding study resources in Season 1, Episode 4 of the podcast. So you might want to go back and listen to that if you haven't already heard it. The resources you're able to get will very likely impact on your time allocations. For example, you might discover there are no textbooks available and you need to log a lot of time watching videos. In my study plan, I've already created a list of topics for which I need materials, and the preferred material for me would be something to read. I prefer written materials because it gives me the ability to skim parts or skip things I already know. Unlike video presentations where I would more or less need to watch the entire thing. For written material, I would prefer to have something from a recognized publisher or university whenever possible. It is possible to find these books online as well as in the local library, and it is only when a search for these fails that I would fall back onto YouTube videos or perhaps Khan Academy videos. Not because this information isn't accurate, but because the time cost associated with this type of video medium. For this season, I'm not going to use any paid resources to get my study materials. You'll remember that one of my constraints was not to spend money on resources or materials. This is obviously an artificial constraint that I've given myself. However, I'm going to ignore all the paid resources which I listed in Season 1, Episode 4. Typically, my local library would be my first point of call, but I decided that because of the time it would take to find and reserve the textbooks, I would try an online search first. There are a number of organizations and people who release textbooks under Creative Commons or public domain licenses. You can download a number of these directly from these sites, and an internet search will provide you with a number of other sites, but I'll give these three honorable mention. people.math.gatech.edu, openculture.com/free_textbooks, and open.umn.edu/open textbooks. I managed to find just about all the textbooks I needed from the last one, the Open Textbook Library. I managed to find textbooks for physics, human geography, physical geography, probability, and chemistry. Now, while these are college-level textbooks, I downloaded the introductory textbooks wherever I could. This is because my aim is high school-level knowledge, not university-level knowledge in these topics. And for statistics, I already have a book which I had previously bought, and I'll use that. A problematic topic for me was British history. There aren't any online textbooks I could find, so I went to the local library and placed a couple of books on hold. Now, luckily for me, my local library has an online reference where I can search for the books and then reserve them. And when they're ready, they'll be delivered to my local library for pickup. In the meanwhile, I'll either not do any study or attempt to find something else online to fill in the time. I couldn't find a biology textbook online that I wanted to use, so I decided to watch some videos instead, which are available on the Khan Academy website. And then finally, I turned my attention to English literature and needed to find some poetry, some works from the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries, as well as something written by good old Bill Shakespeare. So I headed off first to Project Gutenberg, whose mission is to encourage the creation and distribution of ebooks. Here, I found all of the works of Shakespeare and a ton of literature to choose from. If you're looking for books or literature from the past, this is a great place to visit. So that took care of almost all my resource needs, and then I needed to turn my attention to mnemonics. So, using mnemonics. In Season 1, Episode 6, I covered the usage of mnemonics for remembering things you need to learn. Mnemonics is a word derived from the old Greek goddess of memory. You can listen to Season 1, Episode 6 podcast for the full details of this subject, but I plan to use a number of these techniques in my Season 3 challenge. So a quick reminder of all of the techniques that I covered in Season 1, Episode 6 were rhyming, storytelling or the chain system, sentence systems, POA, which is person, object, action, system of loci, and acronyms. Now, the techniques I'll be using is POA, or the Dominic method, the story or chain system, and sentence systems. The Dominic method is named after its inventor, 8-times memory champion Dominic O'Brien. It is a PA, or person action system, where you memorize the numbers 0 to 100, where each number is represented by a person, and each person has an action. Because I've previously memorized the 0 to 100 person action list for myself, I can now use this system confidently to memorize other numbers. For example, I've already memorized pi to 50 decimal places. The story system is where you chain together images in order to remember separate things. So you might memorize a story. For example, if I wanted to remember 3 things required for photosynthesis, sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide, I might make up a story where I'm walking around in a greenhouse full of plants, but the sunlight is so bright it's making me sweat, and the water pours off of me like it's a river, and the only way to stop it is to soak it up with this huge towel that has carbon dioxide written on it. Sentence systems are things I used to use to remember things but might not be accurate anymore, such as my very excited mother just served us new potatoes, which, of course, used to tell me, or help me to remember, the planets of the solar system. And of course, now that scientists have demoted Pluto from being a planet, I need a new sentence to memorize the planets in order from the sun. For phone numbers, birthdays, and family and friends, I'll probably use a combination of the story and Dominic methods. I'll also create a retrospective timetable, which is related to the retrospective revision timetable, which I mentioned in Season 1, Episode 11. So if you go back and listen to that podcast, you can see that I'm actually adapting the methods I talked about then to fit my requirements now. All the methods that I've talked about in the show can be modified to fit your needs and your objectives. The retrospective revision timetable is when you list all of the subjects and topics you need to review for an exam. Then you do a review of that topic, you flag the review with the date that you did it and how well you did, green, amber, red. Then the next time you sit down to review, you pick something you haven't done, and after you've done them all, you go back and you start on the topics which you flagged red. And you keep doing them until you've eliminated all of the red, and then you start working on the things that are yellow or amber, and you eliminate them until everything is green. The idea here is that you'll only be reviewing or studying the things that you're worst at in order to bring them up to a green level, because there isn't any point wasting time before your examination on things that you already know. A retrospective timetable is similar, but because you're using this to study for the first time, not to review, your flag means something slightly different. First, you list all the topics that need to be studied, just like before. Then you study them, making sure to study all of them. Each time you study a topic, you flag it as red, amber, green. But here, you're only indicating how difficult you find the topic or the textbook that you're studying. You flag this because it can be an indicator that you may have selected material that is too high for your level, or if everything's green, it might be too low for your level. And this can help you identify when you need to find more help or perhaps more difficult materials. The ideal marking would be that everything is amber or yellow to indicate that this material is just right, as Goldilocks would say. I'll be showing my completed retrospective timetable in the YouTube channel, and I'll show some of the techniques for mnemonics. I'll post links to the YouTube channel on the Autodidactic website and in the transcription of this podcast. The transcription of this podcast and the links are all located at https://autodidactic.info. If you have any questions or suggestions regarding this series or any of the previous series, you can contact me at rick@autodidactic.info or post a comment on the website or on the YouTube channel. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.